the heart attack. I've never ordered one. I think in addition to two burger patties, it's got cheddar cheese, avocado slices, an egg, and bacon. It may be fun to decide which people we think are going in for a serving of coronary arrest. Sissy laughed. Why would anyone give a burger such a horrid name? In warning? Ben fished through the sacks and handed Sissy her burger and fries. For whatever reason, it's a moneymaker. He fed Finn his patties and then relaxed to enjoy his sandwich. Damn, Finn. You've got the whole cab smelling like wet dog.
Don't be a baby, Sissy told him. He can't help how he smells. And besides, a little wet dog ambiance lends the meal a touch of earthy elegance. It's like having another picnic.
The yard lights illuminated the cab. Ben sent her a wondering look. You actually don't mind? For me, it's kind of like using stinky socks as a dinner napkin.
Sissy nearly choked on a fry. It isn't that bad.
He grinned and took another bite of his burger. Actually, the burn of the jalapenos in my sinuses is helping. I can't smell much of anything now.
After they finished their desserts, with Sissy holding Finn's tub of vanilla ice cream so he could eat it without making a huge mess, Ben drove her home. Sissy stared at her building. She hadn't thought to leave any lights on, and inside it would be blacker than smut. Thinking of her ghost, or whatever it was that played mind games with her, she dreaded going in.
We'll escort you to the door and wait until you get some lights turned on, Ben said, as if he had read her thoughts.
I'm sure I can handle it, she said. I need to close up the chicken coop first anyway, and I'm sure you're eager to get home and take a shower.
Our showers will wait, and I'll close up the coop on my way back to the truck. It'd be bad manners on my part not to see you to the door, and if my mom found out, she'd twist my ear. She'd have to stand on a chair to reach it, but trust me, that wouldn't stop her.
Well, I wouldn't want you to get your ear twisted. Sissy slid out of his truck, landed on ground that seemed to be several feet down, and caught her balance. Finn sailed out behind her. Ben met them at the front bumper and kept pace with Sissy.
Oh, drat, she said. I need to turn the heat lamp on in the coop, too.
Not necessary. My weather app says it won't freeze tonight. The hens will be fine.
Once on the porch, Sissy fished for her keys. Finn bounced around as if he expected to go in and be fed again. As she turned the lock and opened the door, she said, You had 6 hamburger patties and at least a cup of ice cream minutes ago. How can you possibly have room for more?
That's not to mention the 3 sandwiches and the huge helping of baked beans he ate for lunch.
Just then, Finn wagged his behind with such enthusiasm that he farted. Waving a hand in front of his face, Ben leaned around to flip on both of the interior light switches, which illuminated the storeroom hallway and porch.
Oh, man, Finnegan! It smells like something crawled up inside you and died.
When Sissy laughed, he added,
Yeah, so very funny. You don't have to sleep with him tonight.
Sissy bent to give Finn a goodnight pat. Then she turned to face Ben. Thank you for being my tour guide today. I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you for being such a good sport. I shouldn't have started the splashing incident.
Actually, that was one of the highlights for me. She glanced down at the dog. Thank you for starting it, Finn. It was fun. Silence fell between her and Ben. Sissy had never said goodnight to a man on her porch. But even she knew a goodnight kiss, and often more, was normally on the agenda. Ben leaned toward her, her body tensed. But instead of putting his mouth over hers, he plucked the straw hat from her head.
If Mom visits and can't find her hat, she'll be pissed.
He studied her face with a slight smile curving his lips.
Good night, Sissy. I'll see you in the morning, ready to get back to work. The run may be finished tomorrow.
Good night, she called after him.
Be a good boy tonight, Finn. Don't lift the covers with bean farts.
She heard Ben chuckling as he closed and latched the coop door. Then he climbed into the truck after his dog. Sissy stood on the porch to watch them drive away. Today had been incredible. She was so glad now that she'd taken a gamble and gone with him to the waterfall. How wonderful would it be if he asked her to go again before the weather turned too cold? The thought jolted Sissy back to reality. She had created a good life for herself. According to Ma Thomas and Marilyn, she had greatly increased the business since her aunt's death. Plus, she was starting to make a few friends and felt a little more self-confident each day. The people of Mystic Creek were embracing her with warmth and welcome, making her feel as if she was safe inside a small butterfly cocoon. Maybe she would emerge a beautiful blue, like the butterflies at the falls. She liked Ben. Today she'd managed to relax with him, trust him to a degree, and enjoy his company. But what if it was all a front? Men, in her experience, could be devious chameleons who pretended to be whatever they thought you wanted them to be, until you let your guard down and gave them an opportunity to pounce. Every single time a guy had approached her with seemingly innocent intentions, the end result had been extremely unpleasant. How many times did she have to learn that lesson? Ben seemed to be a wonderful guy, but Sissy had gleaned from experience that when a man seemed too good to be true, he probably was. Chapter 6. As Ben drove toward home, he presented a question to his damp, stinky dog.
"So, what do you think, pal? Does she have potential, or should I run like hell?"
Finn barked, the sound laced with excitement.
"Yep, she definitely likes you. That's a huge plus. She'd never kick you outside and make you sleep in a doghouse in the dead of winter."
Finn rumbled low in his chest.
"I know, the very thought ticks you off, but the truth is, most of the women I've dated had no great fondness for dogs, horses, or cows."
"Sissy's different. She truly likes you. And did you see how she acted with the large animals? And she didn't even get in a grump when she got horse shit all over her shoes."
Ben sighed as he rounded a curve in the road. "Do you know how good it felt to spend the whole day with a woman who isn't prissy about everything? She didn't get mad when I splashed her with cold water."
He fell silent.
"I know, I'm a devious bastard. I shouldn't have tested her that way. But most of the gals I've been out with wouldn't have gone waiting in the first place, unless they did it to impress me. And I'm tired of all the games. After the first shock from the cold water, Sissy just laughed and gave back as good as she got."
He nodded, as if Finn had responded.
"That's an excellent point. Nobody can get doused with ice water and not show her true colors, even if it's only for an instant. She isn't putting on an act only to reveal an ugly side later. What we saw today is the real Sissy."
Ben glanced at his dog and then reached over to ruffle his ears.
"You make a great sounding board. Never mind that you can't really answer me. You help me reason my way through things all the same. I think I finally found someone who suits me to a T. That means I need a game plan, pal, because I don't think she's looking for a man in her life."
The following morning, when Ben went into the Cauldron for breakfast, Sissy had no customers. Dumbass that he was, he'd expected them to pick up where they'd left off last night, joking around, laughing, and enjoying each other's company. But no. Sissy was back in her silent treatment mode, serving him with such politeness and professionalism that he wanted to grit his teeth. In an attempt to start a conversation, he said,
"So, how's it going with your ghost?"
He hoped to get a laugh out of her, but instead she frowned. "No news on that front." His radar pinged. Sissy was a rotten liar, which in his books was another fine trait for him to admire. He gave up on scintillating conversation and applied himself to his meal. When he'd cleared his plate, she emerged from the kitchen to collect it. "Seeing the falls was fabulous. A day off won't occur for me for another 3 years, most likely. Thank you for taking me." Ben's heart sank. Her cool tone told him everything. And nothing. She piled the plate with his mug, napkin, and flatware.
It was a rare treat, she added. Ben stood and reached for his wallet. Then he laughed.
That breakfast was so good, I forgot I don't have to pay.
He returned the bifold to his hip pocket.
Well, back to work. I'll have the new run finished by tomorrow night. I know it seems like it's taking forever, but burying wire all around it to prevent predators from digging under is time-consuming.
Ben sauntered out through the shadowy storage rooms and into bright sunlight. He paused for a moment to let his eyes adjust. He felt deflated, disappointed. He'd dated so many women. Normally, when it was over, for him, it was just over. But with Sissy, he felt sad. He felt almost certain she was everything he'd been looking for. But until she gave him signals that she felt the same way, he'd be nuts to wade in over his head emotionally. Still lecturing himself, Ben resumed work. He was stretching lengths of wire around the run when Sissy suddenly appeared. She'd pulled off the white coverall, which allowed him to see how her snug jeans skimmed over her hips and nipped in at her waist. Her top, the color of sliced peaches, revealed small, perfectly shaped breasts and slender flanks. Looking into her wide blue eyes, he decided that she had no idea how beautiful she was. She wore no makeup that he could detect. Her short hair was tousled, a style that complemented her delicate features and heart-shaped face. He imagined she'd look just as cute when she crawled out of bed in the morning.
"Hey," he said.
She gestured at the construction material. What you said about mistakes we make? I've got only a couple of hours, but I'd like to help out here to correct the one I made. My chickens deserve at least that much from me. Ben looked at her birds milling around in the tiny run with barely enough room to move. She followed his gaze. It's awful, isn't it? I'd plead ignorance, but that's no excuse. Ben needed to hear nothing more.
I can sure use a couple of extra hands, but I'd prefer them to be protected ones.
He held up one of his, displaying a well-worn leather glove. She reached back and tugged a pair of gardening gloves from the waistband of her jeans. He smiled.
Good. You came prepared. Having someone to help hold the wire down while I cover it with dirt will be awesome.
So much for keeping my distance, he thought. But then he looked on the bright side. If Sissy helped him, she might grow more relaxed around him again. He immediately noticed that she was observant and tried to grab things for him before he needed them. Only he didn't expect her to lift the gigantic rolls of wire and place them at strategic points around the run.
Sissy, those are way too heavy for you.
Already red in the cheeks, she huffed for breath.
Maybe I can just drag them. To drag them, you still have to lift one end.
Ben figured each roll probably weighed almost as much as she did. Well, probably nowhere close, but it was awkward weight.
I don't want you to hurt yourself, he said. You have a cafe to operate.
He half expected her to argue. A number of younger women he'd met seemed to be on a mission to prove they could do anything a man could, and then some. But Sissy only dropped the wire and said, I could figure out a way to move them without hurting myself, but that'd be a waste of time. So what can I do?
Good on you, he thought. That's plain common sense. You can put boards down around the run. As I'm burying wire, their weight will help anchor it. When you've finished with that, I'll think of something else.
She went to work. By the time she finished, Ben was sweating, and he wasn't convinced it was from exertion. Earlier, he'd noticed Sissy's stunned expression when she'd seen him out here without a shirt. Uncertain whether he'd read her right, he decided, since he was sweltering, that it couldn't hurt if he enacted a replay. He tugged off his shirt and slung it over the tailgate. When he turned to walk back, he caught Sissy gaping at him. Their gazes locked. The air between them sizzled with awareness. For what seemed like an interminable time, they both stood frozen in place. And then Ben broke the spell by grinning. The Ice Queen had the hots for him. She hadn't averted her eyes quickly enough. He wanted to jab his fist into the air and let out a whoop of victory.
Instead, he went back for his shirt, put it on, and faced her again with the front hanging open.
"Is this better?"
He hoped he looked innocent. Judging by her expression, he'd failed miserably. Her face turned as scarlet as a candied apple.
"I don't care if you parade around naked," she snapped. "It's the new millennium. Do what you want."
Ben wiped the smile from his face. He hated people who gloated. It was enough to know that she was as attracted to him as he was to her. Sissy enjoyed working with Ben. She just made sure she didn't look at him from his belt buckle up, or from there down, for that matter. He was gorgeous. If he'd been an ice cream cone, she would have licked him all over while he melted. Only he wasn't, and it was uncharacteristic of her to think about a man that way. She was Sissy Bentley, the ragamuffin girl who'd never attended the same school long enough to make good grades or any friends. As a teenager, she'd had her head in the clouds for a brief while, thinking that this boy or that one liked her. But her gullibility had died a swift death in a swank sports car parked out in the middle of a cow pasture. Now, in her mid-twenties, she had to keep her head on straight. No matter how nice Ben seemed or how attractive he was or how much she enjoyed being around him, she'd be foolish to forget the hard lessons life had taught her. She'd made her mistakes, and she would never repeat them. It embarrassed her that Ben had caught her staring at his body. Oh well, she'd never make that mistake again either. She was no longer the poor girl who'd been the daughter of the town drunk in so many states that she'd long since lost count. Maybe she'd never mesh well with people like the Sterlings. But she'd climbed out of the gutter and left her worthless parents far behind. After working long hours in the cafe, she'd taken online courses to perfect her math and spelling. Over time, she'd built up the clientele so much that even her customers noticed. She wasn't about to let a man set her off course with silly notions about an idyllic future with him. That wasn't her dream. Not because a small part of her didn't wish for true love and happy endings, but because experience had taught her that neither of those things actually existed. She had only one thing she could count on and believe in, and that was herself. Christopher Doyle ate dinner at 4:30 every afternoon. He was so punctual that Sissy knew the time without looking at a clock. Doyle was beyond being merely old. At one time he had apparently been extremely tall, but now his fragile body had crumpled, hunching his back so that his face was parallel with the floor as he inched along, using a cane to keep his footing. He had a thick head of snow-white hair, equally white eyebrows that rested above his sunken blue eyes, like hedges in need of shearing, and a skeletal face over which crepey and pale skin hung like wet, puckered chiffon to gather in a wrinkled pouch under his pointed chin. His shirt looked as if it was draped over a wire coat hanger, so thin were his shoulders. He ordered one of three menu selections every night, and he never varied from them. On rare occasions, he'd have dessert, which had to be, without exception, apple pie a la mode. At precisely 5 o'clock, he asked Sissy to box what remained of his meal. He claimed that he finished the food at 7 while he watched a rerun of Bonanza, which he seemed to believe was a recently produced series. Sissy had become so fond of Christopher. Today he remained true to habit. He ordered meatloaf. Sissy knew he wanted the same old, but she always offered him the side choices. And he always frowned in contemplation, as if he might, for once, have a salad or peas instead of corn. She believed making the choice was one of the highlights of his day, and even though she could have served him what he wanted without ever asking, she didn't want to deprive him of the ritual. "Coffee?" she offered.
"No, dear. One cup in the morning is all I can handle. Just water, please."
Sissy got him served. He always sat in the same booth, taking up a spot that could have seated 4. But he left early, so she didn't mind. She put a glass beside his plate and filled it with chilled water, making sure no ice spilled over. Christopher liked his agua straight up.
"What is that?" he asked, his roomy gaze fixed on something behind Sissy.
She turned to find Finnegan behind her. The pup wagged his tail, getting his entire body into the action and looking up at her with eager anticipation. "Oh, dear. His name is Finnegan. He belongs to Ben Sterling."
"Fine family, the Sterlings. They go way back in this town."
He studied the dog.
"He's a handsome young fellow. The name Finnegan suits him. But what is he doing in here?"
That was a good question. Sissy said, "Ben is building me a new chicken run and coop. I feed Finnegan scraps out on the porch, and I think he's hungry again." Christopher treated Sissy to a wondering look.
"Are the two of you sparking?"
"Are we what?" The old man wiggled his shoulders and pumped his elbows as if he were doing the cha-cha.
"Sparking, you know. Ben isn't spoken for, and so far as I know, neither are you."
"Dating, you mean?" Sissy was appalled that Christopher thought that. "Oh, no. I'm paying Mr. Sterling to do the work." A frown brought the white hedges above Christopher's eyes together in an unruly line.
"But Ben Sterling is well healed. If he isn't courting you, why on earth would he be here doing unskilled labor?"
Sissy could think of no answer, so she avoided replying by scolding Finnegan in a friendly way. "You aren't supposed to be in here, silly boy. Come away, come on." She seized the dog's collar. "It's against the law." As Sissy led Finn away, Christopher called out,
"Who's going to report you? Definitely not me. I like dogs. They behave better than a lot of people."
Sissy got Finn back out on the porch and fetched him some meaty leftovers. Ben glanced up from his work.
"Don't tell me he went inside," he called out.
Sissy remembered his warning about not telling him when Finn did something wrong. "Okay, I won't." She ducked back into the building and left Ben to figure it out by himself. Sissy set her alarm for an hour earlier than usual the following morning in order to have her lunch prep done before she opened the cafe for breakfast. That would free up some of the mid-morning for her to work outside with Ben. It wasn't because she wanted to spend time with him, she assured herself, but because Ben's story about the horse he'd nearly killed with cheap hay had touched her, and she believed he was right about rectifying mistakes instead of feeling guilty for making them. Regrets accomplished nothing. Over the course of the day, Sissy worked harder and longer than she had in ages. But in the doing, she began to learn Ben's rhythm and could soon anticipate what he might need her to do next. They were a great team, and as they made progress, she was amazed by how nice the run was. Ben constructed angled walls to connect the run to the tiny coop, which would soon be 4 times larger. When it was finally done, Sissy walked its perimeter, amazed by its size. "It's absolutely huge, and I doubt even maelstrom winds could flatten it." Grinning, Ben opened the run door to step inside. As he ripped up T-posts and tossed the wire of the former run into a pile, her hens squawked and ran in small circles until they realized their world had just been greatly expanded. They emitted questioning sounds as they explored their new boundaries. Watching them, Sissy got tears in her eyes.
"If you put them in the coop before dark, they'll be as safe as can be. Nothing can dig under the fence, and I doubt even a raccoon can get over the top barrier."
Sissy lifted her gaze to admire the panels that sloped outward to stop any creature that tried to climb the wire. It reminded her of the barbed wire atop prison fences, only this had been constructed to keep things out instead of in.
"A monkey could swing over," she said.
Ben laughed.
"Thank goodness monkeys aren't indigenous to the area."
"It's fabulous, Ben." Sissy meant it with all her heart. A lot of men would have thought, "It's only a chicken run." But Ben was a perfectionist. If he turned his hand to work, he'd do it right or not at all. "Now I can't wait to see what the new coop will be like."
"I'll have you over for dinner some night after the cafe is closed and turn on the yard light so you can see mine. It's not as large as yours will be, but the construction will be similar."
Cajoled by the friendly exchanges between them, Sissy floated on the moment, imagining a quiet dinner with him at his home. In her mind's eye, she even saw lighted candles on the table between them. They'd enjoy easy conversation over the meal, and then maybe he'd take her hand and... She jerked her thoughts back to reality so fast her muscles snapped taut. A cold, hard knot took up residence in the pit of her stomach. Ben, who apparently noted the expression on her face, cocked his head.
"Did I say something to offend you?"
Sissy started to shake her head no, but then she decided to nip this in the bud before her common sense oozed out her ears and romantic idiocy took over. "It's just that you should know right up front that I'll never have dinner at your house." He arched a golden eyebrow.
"Oh? I guess you didn't like my horses and cows as much as I thought."
Sissy shook her head. "I loved meeting your horses and cows. They're delightful." He frowned.
"Okay, so why will you never have dinner at my place?"
"It's nothing personal. I just don't do men. Ever." After Sissy went inside to cook, Ben mulled that over. What did she mean she didn't do men? Was she trying to tell him that her preferences ran to women? What a load of crap. She sent out signals to him whenever they were together. Maybe, probably, she didn't realize that, but she did. Women who were attracted only to other women didn't electrify the air when they were near a man. He didn't know what her game was, but he wasn't going to play. She could tell herself whatever she liked, but she was attracted to him, and the evening would come when she did join him at his table for dinner. Afterward, he'd take her for a tour of his chicken facilities. Then he would treat her to dessert, which would not be served in a dish. Oh, no. When he offered her the taste experience of a lifetime, it would be a long kiss that would curl her toes, and she would receive it while lying in his bed. Chapter 7. Over the next week, Ben tracked Sissy's schedule and made sure his own allowed him as much time alone with her as possible. She resisted being around him, except when she helped outdoors. Even then, she averted her gaze and often spoke in monosyllables. Given that he knew she found him attractive, her reluctance to be too friendly reminded him of a comment his brother Barney, who'd served in law enforcement for years, had once made about Sissy, that she possessed old eyes. In Barney's speak, that meant she had gained wisdom from her life experiences, which probably hadn't been pleasant. Ben now agreed with the assessment. She'd been through hell at some point, and it had left her unwilling to trust anyone easily, especially men. He couldn't help but wonder how many bad experiences she had endured to become so set on remaining single. That was a story he hoped to hear someday. After he ate dinner each night, which he usually finished about the time Sissy's cafe was emptying of diners, she always came out to help him tidy up the construction site. On most jobs, Ben put away only his tools, but he couldn't leave debris strewn on the ground behind a cafe where customers might trip and get hurt. Because it was now often cold after the sun went down, Sissy had started bringing out a thermos of coffee and two mugs to warm them up during breaks. Ben enjoyed those moments with her. He'd lean against the dropped tailgate of his truck, wrap his hands around a mug as if to absorb the heat, and gaze at the sky with her. The mulberry moon had cycled away to a half-sphere, no longer posing any threat of love forever after. But he liked to think, since it was still September, that the shimmery light might sprinkle a little magic over them. He'd been hoping that if it got cold enough, she'd invite him inside, but that hadn't happened. Sissy especially admired the night sky when it was still illuminated by a fading sunset, streaked with frothy pink and crimson. More than once she'd wished aloud that she could duplicate on canvas the gorgeous colors and the black silhouettes of towering pine trees cast against deep indigo and starlight. Ben, entranced by the melodious caress of her voice, wished that she'd admire the sky a little less and him a little more. He also yearned for her to talk about herself. He was curious about her Aunt Mabel. Ben knew Sissy had never met the woman. But why?
His folks kept in touch with relatives. It was bewildering that Sissy had grown up without ever meeting her mom's sister. And why would a middle-aged woman who surely hadn't expected to kick the bucket in her 40s have already made out a will and left all her worldly possessions to a niece she didn't know? Another thing that really bugged Ben was that Sissy rarely mentioned her parents or referred to any siblings. He knew that her mom was dead, so he assumed that her father was possibly gone as well. But that didn't explain her silence about both of them. He toyed with the idea that she disliked her folks, but that didn't gel for him because Sissy wore her mother's mood ring. It was clearly a possession she treasured. One evening, as he nearly moaned over the taste of Sissy's fabulous pot roast, which even Christopher Doyle ate instead of his usual order when it was available, he said, "This has to be a family recipe. My mom's is fabulous, but this is extraordinary." Sissy's cheeks went pink. "Well, it's a family recipe, I suppose. When I first came here, I found it in Aunt Mabel's recipe box."
"Ah."
Mild disappointment settled over Ben.
"Well, it's amazing."
She leaned closer to whisper, "The secret is simple. I poke slits in the roast and stick in slices of garlic along with dribbles of concentrated onion juice before I roll it in flour and brown it. That's what makes the flavor pop." Ben took heart that she'd gotten near enough as she spoke for him to feel her breath on his cheek. It smelled faintly of butterscotch, making him wonder if she'd been savoring a piece of candy. Gazing at her lips, he wished he could steal a quick taste of her mouth. Just a quick, not-so-casual tongue dive into those moist pink depths. Collecting his wayward thoughts, he said,
"I'll bet your mom left you some great recipes too, huh?"
She drew away and gave him a sharp look. "My mom's specialty was making meals on the cheap. I grew up eating canned chili soup, undiluted, mixed into noodles." Her tone was crisp, clearly indicating that the subject was closed. Watching her walk away, Ben was left with the impression that she'd regretted telling him that as soon as she finished the sentence. Why was she so secretive about her parents? Ben talked about his own. They were an integral part of his life and came up in casual conversation. He decided knowing more about her parents didn't matter. It was Sissy he cared about, and though it might have been wishful thinking on his part, she seemed more relaxed in his company than she had been since their picnic at the falls. She also praised his work, not effusively, but with sincerity. Each day, Ben accomplished more on the backyard project. Now that the wing was framed in, he'd be finished soon. After that, he'd still need to build roosts, nesting boxes, and dust bath bins, but he could finish those in short order. He tried to console himself with the thought that Sissy would still owe him 4 meals a day for another 2 weeks after the whole project was finished, but he would miss working with her out back. It was during those times that she was more likely to let down her guard and reveal things about herself. On the evening that Ben completed the job, frustration warred with regret. He'd gotten exactly nowhere with her. Thinking hard, he bought himself 2 more days of working with Sissy, by suggesting that she needed a leak-proof storage shed similar to Marilyn's, where she could keep chicken supplies. "Won't a shed be costly to build? How much do I already owe you for building supplies?" Ben had lost track of all the expenditures, and he had thrown away the receipts. He didn't want Sissy to pay for everything. Though she might never know it, the coop and run were mostly his gift to her.
Well, last count, you were in for about 300.
"That's all?" She took in her chicken compound. "How much of this stuff was leftover material from your place that you wanted out of your way?"
"A lot of it, but I also got a heap of stuff at Restore."
Ben didn't like lying to her, but he'd be even less happy about making her cough up 3 grand. His savings account was still in great shape, and hers wouldn't be after a drain like that.
"Oh," he added, snapping his fingers, "I forgot the gravel delivery. You owe me for that, so you're in for about 350.
"And a shed will cost about..."
"Oh, I don't know."
Ben pretended to be mentally calculating the expenses.
If we go with a dirt floor, not that much. Maybe 500?
Roofing material is costly, but I've got a pile of corrugated metal out at my place that I'd like to get rid of. Using it here will save me hauling it to the dump.
A shed would be really nice, and I can afford that much more. How long do you think it'll take you?
2 days max. No wiring for electricity, no insulation or interior walls.
She nodded. So, giving you 2 days of free meals for every 8 hours you work, I'll owe you 4 more days of free food. On Ben's side, that meant 4 more days in her company.
It's a deal.
She smiled, held out her hand, and they shook on it. The next morning, when Ben arrived earlier than usual at Sissy's with materials to erect her shed, he couldn't tell who loved the new coop and run more, the chickens or their owner. Sissy was inside the structure when he got out of the truck, and while he was unloading supplies, she toured the interior of the shelter at least 3 times, yelling through the walls to Ben that a family of 3 could live in there. When she emerged into the run, she spun in a circle, holding her arms wide. Thin, early sunlight glinted in her hair, making him catch his breath. "Seriously, I've lived in dinky houses with yards a third this size. It's amazing. These are the luckiest chickens in the world now." Although he worked as slowly as possible without actually stopping, it seemed to Ben that the shed went up faster than the speed of light. As he hung the door that last evening, he felt glum. He consoled himself with the thought that he could still look forward to nearly 2.5 weeks of free meals at the Cauldron, but he also accepted that he'd enjoy less time in Sissy's company. Inside the cafe, she tended to avoid him. Sometimes he felt sure she invented tasks in order not to chat with him. She had the talent for discouraging men down to a fine art that smacked of long practice. Sissy thanked God that Ben would no longer be working behind her cafe. Granted, she'd still have to see him 4 times a day for over 2 weeks when he came in to eat, but once that was over, her part of their bargain would be fulfilled. She could barely wait. Being around Ben put her totally off balance and filled her head with silly fantasies. Hooking up with a guy was not in her game plan, especially with a man like Ben. The night the shed was completed, he came in for dinner just as her last evening customer departed. She couldn't help but wonder if he'd timed his entrance to catch her alone. She recalled seeing him without a shirt. As the image flashed through her mind, her mouth went dry and her stomach clenched. A lot of men would kill to possess a sculpted torso like that, and an equal number of women would go to almost any lengths to run their hands over it. Sissy told herself she was not one of them, but she knew she was lying to herself. Even worse, she knew she was putting herself in a perilous situation by trying to believe it. No way around it, she had a bad case of the hots for Ben Sterling, and sooner or later, the temptation would be too much for her to resist. The sooner she got rid of him, the better. As she served him his order, a bacon cheeseburger with a jumbo order of seasoned fries, he asked, "So, how are things going with your ghost?" Sissy wasn't about to admit that there had been countless incidents that made her skin crawl. "My ghost? It's been pretty calm around here on that front." His amber gaze rested on her face so long that she struggled not to squirm. Whenever Ben studied her, she felt as if he looked too deep and saw too much.
"Well, I'm glad. Some mornings you still have shadows under your eyes. I thought maybe you were losing sleep."
Sissy caught the inside of her cheek between her teeth to stop herself from spilling the truth. She no longer questioned whether or not she had a ghost. She felt certain she did. Her only consolation was that no harm had been inflicted on her. "Oops," she cried. "It's time to take my quiche out of the oven." In truth, she had no quiche baking, but from where Ben sat, the wall below the pass-through window blocked his view. She grabbed oven mitts and pretended to remove a delicate dish from one of the racks.
"Boy, it sure smells good. Can you spare some for me?"
Sissy sent him a suspicious look through the opening. Did he know she hadn't made quiche? He couldn't possibly smell it. Thinking fast, she said, "I'm sorry.
I like to let it sit before I cut it. Nothing worse than quiche that goes flat in the center.
Ben's dimple flashed.
That's fine. I wouldn't want it to fall.
He knows.
Sissy took refuge in the walk-in cooler. He knew she was making up reasons not to talk with him. Now what was she going to do? Her face burned with embarrassment even as the rest of her body grew chilled from the frigid temperature. She hugged herself, hoping he'd take the hint and leave if she stayed in there long enough. Soon, not even her cheeks felt hot. After glancing at her new watch, a gift from Ma Thomas when she had them on sale in her shop, Sissy waited a full 10 minutes. The walk-in was so well insulated that she could hear nothing through its thick walls. Ben had surely left by now. She finally opened the door and stepped out, only to find him loading the mountains of dinner plates on the kitchen counter into one of the dishwashers.
"There you are,"
he said with a lady-killer grin that she felt certain he practiced in front of a mirror.
"I was about to come looking for you. It has to be colder than a witch's tit in there."
Sissy wanted him out of her kitchen, but short of bodily removing him, she couldn't think how to accomplish that.
"How cold is a witch's tit? Are you speaking from personal experience?"
"No personal encounters. I try to avoid witches." He bent to place another plate in the rack.
"But it stands to reason, doesn't it? A witch flies around on a broom on the last night of October. Here in Mystic Creek, parents wear double layers to take their kids trick-or-treating. How cold do you think her tits might get?"
Hiding the shivers that tried to vibrate her body, Sissy rubbed her arms.
"Pretty cold."
She watched him reach for another stack of plates.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"Helping you out."
He paused to study her face.
"You've got shadows under your eyes again. If I speed things up for you in the kitchen, maybe you'll get a little more rest tonight. If your ghost keeps quiet, that is."
"I told you my ghost hasn't done anything lately."
He settled a twinkling gaze on her.
"But I can tell when you're lying. Has anyone ever mentioned that you're lousy at it? There's a little spot right on the tip of your nose that turns bright red every single time."
"What a wonderful compliment." He made her sound like Rudolph's twin.
Sissy couldn't think what to say. She resisted the urge to cup her hand over her nose, though. That was something.
"So," he went on, "if you're lying, it follows that your ghost is still wreaking havoc and making you lose sleep, thus the circles under your eyes. And since I don't have anything better to do, I may as well help you knock this out so you can go to bed and get a full 8.
I have breakfast prep to do as well.
You can't help with that." "Why not?"
"Because it involves food preparation and you don't cook."
"Where'd you get the idea I don't cook?"
He lifted a bowl from the sudsy water in the sink and scratched his nose with the side of his wrist, leaving a cluster of bubbles over the cleft of his upper lip. He looked so cute that she almost smiled.
"I'm actually a great cook."
"So why do you eat out all the time?"
"Because cooking for one leaves me with heaps of leftovers, and I get tired of the same thing day after day. I grew up in a big family, and I can't master the art of making small amounts."
He winked at her.
"Don't worry. Just show me what to do, and we'll have the breakfast prep finished before you can holler howdy."
Sissy didn't need a crystal ball to see that he wasn't going to leave on his own steam. Short of ordering him off the premises, she was stuck with him. And he'd been so good about the coop and shed that she couldn't bring herself to be that rude.
"I don't appreciate being called a liar."
He winced.
"You're right. It's an insult. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that and say that you avoid telling me the truth."
She sighed and grabbed 2 fresh chef coats. "If you're going to handle food, you have to wear a sterile garment over your street clothes. Health regulations." The chef coat barely fit him, but he managed to squeeze into it and tie the sash. The sleeves were tight around his muscular arms and shoulders. As Sissy began working in tandem with him to finish the cleanup, she thought of Finn shivering on her porch.
"While you're being Mr. Helpful, your poor dog is outside freezing."
She set the coverall aside.
"I'm going to get him."
Wrist deep in dishwater, he called,
What about the health regulations?
Screw the regulations. I'm not leaving him out there. His fur isn't thick enough yet to protect him, and he's my friend.
And I'm not.
Sissy kept walking, pretending she hadn't heard him. Tonight he seemed determined to be pushy for the first time since she'd met him. And even if she had come to think of him as a friend, which she had, in a way, she would not, even under threat of death, admit that to him. Later, when the breakfast prep was done, Ben jotted his cell phone number on a table by her cash register. For just in case. For just in case of what? Sissy didn't want his cell number. It felt all wrong.
Well, if anything weird happens tonight, you'll know how to get in touch with me. My home number is in the book, but if you're upset, you may call my dad or one of my brothers by mistake.
He gave her a thoughtful study.
It's only my cell number, Sissy. Why does my writing it down upset you?
Because he was referring to a ghost he didn't believe existed, and it felt too personal. It was another step forward in a relationship with him that she didn't want to have. She'd never had an actual relationship. But what she had experienced was the role-playing boys or men would resort to in order to get in her pants. An ugly term, but boiled down, only ugly defined it.
Hey, Sissy, you're too small to carry so many books. Let me carry them for you.
Paybacks always followed favors. And later, believing a football star, the son of the town mayor, really and truly liked her? That had been a mistake she would never forget. Well, she wasn't that naive girl anymore. She wasn't the daughter of the town drunk now. She'd left all that behind her. She'd worked until she'd nearly dropped in her tracks to become somebody. Ben might have 2 college degrees, but his education had been handed to him. She'd had to scrabble her way up from poverty and educate herself. Now she could take a recipe for 4 and calculate, without writing it all down, how to make that recipe to feed 40. And her increase in patrons was visible proof that she'd done it right. In her own way, she had acquired an education too, and become a successful businesswoman. Deep down, she wanted to trust Ben. She even wished they could be friends. He was, without question, the nicest guy she'd ever met. Or at least he seemed to be. But was she seeing the real Ben? She loved this town. She couldn't gamble with the respect and position she'd worked so hard to have there. If she fell for Ben and he dumped her, she'd look like an idiot. Tears burned at the backs of her eyes. Tears she would never let him see. Sissy? He said her name softly. What is it, honey? I can see you're upset. Can you tell me about it? Maybe talking will help. He had no right to call her honey. And a master's degree in how to avoid men and sticky entanglements might help her, but nothing Ben said ever would. The males of her species were driven by testosterone, not emotion. And when it came to the life she'd built for herself there, she couldn't be an idiot and trust him. Granted, he wasn't after a quick heart attack in the bushes or a car to get what he wanted. He wanted to play house for a while, pretending they had something special, and then end it, making her look like the stupid tramp her father had always deemed her to be. I'm fine, Ben. Thanks for leaving your number. I'll probably never need it, but thank you for being so thoughtful. Try as she would, she couldn't make her tone gracious. Evidently, he got the message because the soft look went out of his eyes. He circled the bar to fetch his Stetson. As he settled it on his head, he said,
It was fun helping tonight. Thanks for not giving me the boot.
He snapped his fingers to awaken a snoozing Finnegan.
Come on, pal. Let's make tracks so Sissy can hit the sack.
Sissy listened to Ben and Finn leave the building. Her throat felt as though steel fingers were digging in over her larynx. The tears that she'd held in check filled her eyes, blurring her vision. Damn him, damn him, she screamed inwardly. I'm in danger of falling in love with him, and I can't let that happen. He wants only one thing from me, that's all they ever want. Before I give it to him, I'll go to the shady lady and buy a damned vibrator. Sissy dashed the tears from her cheeks, snapped her shoulders straight, and lifted her chin. She wouldn't blubber over a man as if her heart were breaking. That would be too stupid for words. He couldn't change who he was, and she couldn't change either. She had to get her priorities straight and be sensible. The first steps toward that were to lock all the doors, turn off the lights, and go to bed. If he tried to hang around tomorrow night after her diners left, she would give him the boot. For the next 2 weeks, she'd honor her end of their bargain and feed him. But beyond that, she owed him nothing.
Ding-a-ling! Ding-a-ling-dong!
Sissy moaned, pulled her pillow over her head, and wondered what insane person would ring her doorbell before daylight. She rolled, wrapping herself in sheets and blankets like a mummy. It felt so warm, and her pillow was plumped just right under her cheek after the repeated fist pounding she'd given it during the night. The doorbell fell quiet. Oh, yeah. She drifted happily back into blackness.
Ding-a-ling! Ding-a-ling-dong!
Her eyes popped back open. It was her cell phone, set to awaken her promptly at 5 each morning. With a groan, she elbowed her way free from the tight embrace of blankets and ran to the kitchen where she charged the device. Aching with weariness, she imagined how good it would feel to sleep for as long as she wanted. Cold air nipped under the hem of her nightshirt. She curled her toes against the icy laminated flooring. A dull ache throbbed in her temples, and she shivered. Dimly, she remembered all the loud noises that had interrupted her sleep during the night.
I hate you, Aunt Mabel!
Sissy rifled through bureau drawers for clean clothing, dashed to the bathroom to turn on the shower, and then ran to the living room to turn up the thermostat. To save money on power, she always turned the heat down to 50 at night.
You're a mean, cantankerous ghost! I'm not surprised you're hanging around here. I know where you're going now. Hell, that's where. I'd be postponing my journey there, too, if I were you.
While brushing her teeth, Sissy grumped at her dead aunt each time she rinsed and spat.
You know how long my days are, you old biddy.
Swish, spew, scrub.
Why are you doing this to me? I'm exhausted, and it's all your fault.
Sissy wrenched off the tap and fumbled for a towel to blot her mouth.
I'll go bankrupt if I can't work. Your precious cafe will be sold during foreclosure and turned into a...
She paused to think of the worst scenario possible.
An adult sex store. How does that grab you? Porn magazines, kinky toys, sleazy movies with no plots.
Instead of dining booths, there'll be soundproof closets where men will watch videos of female threesomes. Your bingo and church friends will jaywalk and risk being struck by cars rather than walk past the front door.
And think of poor Marilyn. If people won't walk by this place, they'll stop shopping at her store. I know she was one of your best friends. Everyone likes Marilyn. If you don't leave me alone, you're going to be responsible for destroying her business and ruining her life.
When Sissy checked the shower temp, it was still barely warm. She tapped her bare toe, impatient for the hot water to finally make its way upstairs. Then she stood under the spray and started to feel better. At least her head didn't ache now, and she could think straight.
I didn't mean it, she apologized silently to her aunt. You'll never know how grateful I am to you.
She gave herself a quick wash, rinsed, and grabbed her red bath towel from its hook. With a few quick rubs, she was dry. Once downstairs, with only the kitchen lights on, she went into the cooler and started grabbing items for lunch prep. Over the last week and a half, she had acquired the habit of doing that before breakfast rush so she could spend her mid-mornings helping Ben.
Ben.
Her hand froze on a large bag of romaine lettuce. The work outside was finished now. She didn't need to make salad. Putting on her soup of the day could wait. No sandwiches had to be made in advance, so they'd be ready for the grill. She could resume her regular schedule and do this after the breakfast crowd left. Sissy stood shivering, her mind riveted on how cozy and soft her bed had felt. She could have slept for another hour. Ben would be coming by today only for meals. Her routine at the cafe could return to normal. With a sigh, she exited the cooler, her skin now ice cold and clammy. Glancing around the kitchen, she made note of a half dozen chores she could do before breakfast. She'd let a few things slide while working with Ben. Her cupboards could stand to be reorganized and wiped clean. She could choose to be in a grump because she'd gotten up too early, or be in a happy mood because the extra time could be put to good use. The first thing she wanted to do was feed and water her chickens, mostly because she couldn't wait to see how they liked their new home now that they were settling in. She'd paid for the remodel and worked to make it happen as well. She went to the storage room, slipped on rubber boots, threw on her jacket, got her flashlight, and grabbed the treat bucket she now kept just inside the back door. Cold air blasted her in the face as she stepped out on the porch. Sliding her foot back and forth over the wooden planks, she tested for slickness and determined that, as frigid as it felt, the temperature hadn't dropped to freezing. She needn't worry about slipping and falling. Torch beam bobbing, she walked to the chicken coop. Sissy smiled as she stepped inside the structure, the ceiling of which was now high enough for even Ben to stand erect. A heat lamp suspended from the ceiling held the chill of pre-dawn at bay. The light didn't make it hot in the front area, which was good, but it did keep it pleasant. This was the original coop area, barely recognizable now. Ben had installed gravity feeders. All Sissy had to do was top them off with fresh pellets each morning. In fact, Ben claimed that once Sissy invested in automatic waterers, she'd be able to leave for as long as 3 days without hiring anyone to feed her flock. More feeders graced a wall in the large wing addition. Sissy filled the first bank of feeders, chatting with her hens and calling each by name. Well, with so many birds, she couldn't always tell for sure who was who, but she doubted the pullets took offense. As if the birds knew she was talking to them, they preened on their roosts and cackled back at her. Sissy noticed a new layer of feathers littering the floor. Did all chickens lose that many when they weren't in molt? Studying the lineup of hens clustered abreast on the three horizontal roosts, Sissy noted nothing alarming. They looked healthy, if a little sleepy and disgruntled about having their rest disturbed, but she'd felt the same way when her alarm jerked her awake. She moved into the huge new wing. The illumination of the ceiling heat lamps cast a soft golden glow over the large area. Sissy smiled as she trailed her gaze over the birds perched on the roosts, pleased that they now had plenty of space. So beautiful, she thought. She'd ordered a variety of breeds and loved the colorful assortment of plumage. In her peripheral vision, she saw a black lump lying on the floor near the feeders. She turned, thinking Ben had forgotten a tool bag. But no, it was a chicken. Silly you, still sleeping on the floor. You have a mansion now. Sissy walked over to the hen and bent low to give her a pat. Her fingertips met with cold, stiff hardness. Her heart caught. With a light push, she rolled the bird over. Its feet, frozen in death, remained flat against its breast.
No! Oh, no!
With a choked sob, Sissy drew the chicken into her arms.
What happened to you, sweet girl?
Tears filled her eyes.
Did you get sick? Did it get too cold in here?
Sissy saw another lump on the floor, a reddish-brown one. Then another, a white one. Still clutching the dead hen to her chest, she turned in a slow circle and saw possibly 8 or 12 other lumps on the floor. Dead.